Notice us. One time I preached from his pulpit that was built for him. I stood up there and they could only see me from here up.
Thank the Lord. Let's all take a deep breath and count to three. And it is really amazing how the Lord works. I mean, it's so wonderful and so glorious that we just need to constantly be praising God for His mercy and grace. And we are so thankful to be here. I don't understand God's divine providence, but I know there's a purpose in my wife being ill. And she doesn't want anything said about it or doesn't want to disturb the services or whatever, but I appreciate your prayers for her.
Amen.
And we were just glad we could come.
Amen.
The devil tried to get us from coming. They called up and said that the roof was leaking. They had to change roof and all this stuff. And then the furnace and then the foundation. And the devil says, don't go there. Said, it'll fall in on you.
He's trying to scare you away.
He did a good job. But anyway, we are here and we are thankful. And I also noticed, it kind of amused me. When I got the indication I was going to preach on a true heart, I said, well, that's, you know, I believe I enjoy that. And man, it was such a glorious study. I mean, I even used the dictionary to say some of the words. I rarely use the dictionary when I preach, and you wouldn't know that. But, I mean, the words in the Bible that deal with a true heart and all that's involved, just so many words that go along with true.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach two or three of them and pray the Lord will bless us. But one of the things I noticed when I got the outline of the conference, first thing I read was revival of spirit and heart. And I said, whoops! I knew what was going to happen. And I'll go on down and hear, I'm to preach, TBS, or TBA was to preach, and that's me.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, that isn't too bad, one preacher preaching on the heart, and I declare every one of you have just destroyed. I mean, I thought this afternoon I had an introduction, a conclusion, and Brother Hobbs has ruined that. So, but what amused me too about Brother Hobbs was I was over there in the trailer briefly and he was telling me, he said, I'm kind of sorry. He said, I forgot you were preaching on the heart. He said, I may touch on your subjects. Touch, he squeezed it to death. I tell you, it makes it very difficult. However, the Bible is such a marvelous book. We want to preach today, and I was thinking, sitting back there a while ago, about the main cars of past, and now the caboose comes along, and the caboose is so glad that the main car stayed on the track. Brethren, you did, in God's divine providence, a great service as far as this conference is concerned. We praise God for that. Psalm 139. Psalms 139. And as I bring this message, which will be brief, 30 minutes is brief, I want us to think about, we have a heart problem. What's wrong with young people? We have a heart problem. First time I went to the doctor, they was trying to find out what was wrong with me, and I told them what was wrong with me, but they wouldn't listen. And they put a machine on me, and this, that, and the other, and did a cath on me, and they were looking at that picture and said, there it is! They found something in my heart. I'm glad the heart was there, but they found something in my heart. I didn't know it was there. The problem we have today, beloved, is unsaved people don't know the heart problem that they have. It's there and it is absolutely critical.
Amen.
It will kill you.
Amen.
Lost people don't understand what's wrong with people in this world. They don't understand the reality of the heart problem. Even God's people don't seem to understand the heart problem nowadays. It's the easiest thing in the world to get sidetracked because the devil works inside of us. When I think about that heart problem, I think about, oh God, help us to understand. Let's find out about this heart and let's do what we can do by the grace of God, and thank God we have something that can be done in the Lord's divine providence. It is not too late yet as far as God's people are concerned. Talk about a revival. If the heart's right, then the words and deeds will certainly be right. There can be a revival among God's people. Amen. So when I think about the heart problem tonight or today, and I haven't preached this before, I didn't say tonight by accident. I didn't preach it night, morning, or day. I preached to myself. I tell you, the best person I've got to preach to when I think about the heart and what's in there is myself. And after having 5 procedures in the heart and 1 recall on a pacemaker and 1 lead wire broke, and now they tell me that this lead wire I have is the same one that broke. Not the same one that broke, but they had the same kind that broke. And so I know all about the heart, that part of it. But I want us to think today. Psalms 139. Verses 23 and 24. Now understand that David was a man after God's own heart. Understand that David had a personal acquaintance with the Lord God Almighty. Somewhere, somehow, David came to know the Lord. Somehow he came to be called to serve the Lord. And he was faithful to God. He was true to God, had a true heart in that respect. He did what God told him to do. And he was anxious. He loved to go to the house of God. He was glad to go to the house of God. He wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. He was ready to go out and fight, as Brother Hobbs said, in order to preserve the nation of Israel. He had a true heart. But beloved, all of a sudden something happened. Even though he had been true and true and true, just one episode in his life changed everything. And David understands. David understood that he had gone astray. He had failed in taking care of the heart. He had failed to do what he should be doing, and that led him to the episode with Bathsheba. He not only stayed home, he looked and saw and lusted and desired to have her. And all the problems that came out of that was because David didn't consistently search his heart. Amen. And he didn't do what he did here. That is certainly during this episode. He says here, search me. I've got to have you to search me. Please turn the light on in my heart. Search me. Not only search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Both saint and sinner, I would pray today God would search your hearts and let you understand what's in the heart. The difficulty we have today is the fact that we need to search our hearts. Now let me say this to you. And this is the heart of the issue. What is in your heart today? Right now. Right. What are you thinking about? Right. What are your plans? What are your desires? What is in your heart? Now, it'll scare you to death if God shows you what's in your heart. And I certainly I want you to feel good today, and I want you to rejoice. This has been a great time. Thank God for it. I rejoice. But I want you to understand, this is a serious matter among Baptists. The heart, the heart, the heart. Many of you have what I have, an erratic heart, or I call it a Baptist heart. let me go on now. God, search our hearts today. Amen. If you can look into your heart and feel good about it, what have you done in the past? Isn't that grievous? Isn't it grievous to know some of the things we've done in the past? I didn't know what sin was. It was a joke. I heard about people drunk, and I've seen people drunk, and I've been around people. I was raised with alcohol. I've been around that, and it was funny. Look at him staggering around out there. Isn't that joyful or whatever? Lord, it was a tragedy. That man had children and a wife and a home. It's not a joke. This world doesn't know what sin is, and they're flooding our children with filth and trash, and it's a joke to them. They want you to think sin is a fun thing. But I'm going to tell you, you reap what you sow. Sin has its consequences. And I rejoice that there young people are here, and these children and so forth, and we're tickled to death when the family comes to see us and so forth. We're kind of happy when they leave too, but... But it's wonderful to see young people here. And I know it's trying. It's hard to sit here all the time. We shouldn't find it hard, but somehow we do find it hard. And this business about redeeming the time and sitting and watching baseball, I sunk down in my seat. And I started to thinking about the hours that I've spent watching TV when people are going to hell. I'm a pastor of a church. And I'm to set the example. What kind of an example is it when we neglect the Word of God and all these things? You cannot have a true heart until you have a new heart. Why do we need a new heart? Well, it's evidence. The brethren have preached on it. When I think about the need of a new heart, I think about God's Word says you're dead in trespasses and sins. But a lost person, they mentioned a while ago, is totally lost. He's dead in trespasses and sins. He's totally ignorant of his condition. He doesn't know. She doesn't know what's wrong. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart. When Adam fell into sin, death came, and people go astray from the womb speaking lies. You have a wicked heart. People don't understand that. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Somebody asked me one day, how do you feel? I said, I feel bad from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I am in terrible shape. You know, sometimes people say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. You're half dead. That kind of a little smile that came on their face. You know, that was... The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been bound, closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. But from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you're in a hideous condition. And if people could just understand that, in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, Genesis 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of his heart was only evil continually. I don't have time to preach on this like I should, and I will hasten to my next thought, but please understand, you're a sinner. You sinned against God. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly what your plans are. He knows exactly the life that you're living. And you need to understand that it's a dangerous condition you're in.
Right.
We were coming up yesterday from North Carolina, and I think one of the reasons Dolores is sick today, on top of the mountain, man, beautiful, but you couldn't see. I didn't see anything beautiful. All I saw was I thought maybe my glasses steamed up. All I could see was fog out there. And Dolores, I was going 15 miles an hour, and she says, quit speeding. Scare her to death. No wonder she's sick. Well, I'm going to go on. But I want you to know that even though it's humorous, it's serious matter. Let me inject this here. I want to get this in. Have you ever seen yourself a sinner? Now be honest with me. Have you ever seen yourself a sinner? Now, Lord, I tell you, when you see yourself a sinner, you're going to understand, I can't take care of this situation. What must I do to be saved? I want you to see yourself a sinner. Best thing that ever happened to you is to know you're a sinner. You're under condemnation. And the wrath of God hovers over your head. You know, if you know you're a sinner, you're like Isaiah. Woe is me, I'm undone. Boy, it scared him to death. He saw a holy God. He was a blackened sinner, and it scared him to death, and he felt like, this is it. Woe is me. The publican cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You have to know you're a sinner. Why would we need a Savior? Because we're sinners.
Right.
And we can't save ourselves.
Amen.
The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rag. The best you can do today, you say, well, I'm going to start living better. The best you can live in God's sight is because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you don't love God. And you don't have a right motive, the best you can do, God says, I will not accept. It's filthy rag. You can give everything you got to the church, but I want to tell you something. God won't accept it. You cannot pay your way into heaven. You can't even pray your way into heaven as far as the world looks at it. You need to know you're a sinner. And the good news today is when you find that out, oh, the angel said, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. There's a Savior born. That's the good news today. I've got good news for young boys and girls and children and women and adults. I've got good news for you. If you know there's something wrong with, there's one that can help you. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You don't have to live in sin. You can have the joy of salvation. People don't know what joy is. You know what they do? They got to come up with something that's funny on these stupid, filthy programs on TV. And I don't care what kind of TV you got. If you got one channel, there's filth on it. I just watch the good things. Well, beloved, there's not much good to watch. But I'm glad that I can tell you today that you can have a new heart. I tell you today, everything can change if you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have good news to tell. Somebody says, what are you doing for the young people? I'm telling them about Jesus. Now, I don't mind. I'd like to get out there today and play baseball, but I'd probably get killed. I'm not against kids having fun, but I want to tell you something. It won't be funny if they go to hell. They won't enjoy that. Now, when you do know the Lord Jesus, what happens? When you're born again, the Bible tells us that we have a new heart. When we're born again. Boy, how good it is to know the heart's okay. This heart I got, and I dwell on it too much, but when they do all these things to me and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do, I went to the doctor the other day and I had an episode while I was in the doctor's office. It'll give you an episode. Go to the drugstore or the doctor's office or just visit the hospital even. And it's bad. But I had an episode and the doctor said they'd run a strip on. By the way, the electricity went off when I walked in there and the Lord said, I said, now see what I do when I electric goes off. And so they're working on us by flashlight, you know. And they run a strip on me, and I don't mean unclothe me, but they did a ERJ or something. And the doctor looked at it and said, I don't like this. I said, thanks. I don't like it either. But why don't you like, doctor? This doesn't look right. Go over and get on the other machine. They're trying to find a machine that will make me look good. But oh, to have a new heart. They're not going to be no recalls on this heart, I guess. I won't have to have a pacemaker. Man has a new heart. When he's saved, he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. He created unto good works which God has foreordained that we walk in them. The light of God is shining in his heart to give the revelation of the Lord Jesus, or revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I was reading the verse in Isaiah quickly. Isaiah, I always tell you that, forget it. Brother Hobbs won't forget it, but Isaiah chapter 9. And verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, when I was saved, I didn't see a great light outwardly like the Apostle Paul saw on the road to Damascus. There was no great light. There was no voice out of heaven and so forth. But I want to tell you something. When God dealt with me, I tell you, there was light. I didn't understand what was happening. But boy, I said, I was reading that after I was first saved, and that fellow says in John, now I see. I see what the preacher was talking about. I understand it now. When you're saved, God gives you sight. When you're saved, God gives you light. Let me finish reading this. People that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Would God today the light would come on.
Amen.
Oh, that God might shine His light into some soul today, and they see that they're a sinner, and they understand that Jesus Christ is their Savior. That's the only hope we have for our families.
Amen.
Is God turned the light on? I wished I could do it. I wished I could save all of my family. I can't do that. I don't have the light, but God has the light. Let there be light. And there was light. God opens the heart. Acts 16:14. All the brethren have used these. They haven't used them like I have, but to use it. People are saved. Now quickly, man, real quick, when you think about a true heart, it's strange how we preach everything, but then we don't have time to preach what we're asked to preach. The true heart. One of the things that impressed me about the new heart is, of course, first of all, is the new heart loves God. And if you love God, you will want to serve Him. The true heart wants to serve God because God first loved Him. When you have a true heart, you love your neighbor and so forth, and you love to see lost sinners saved. But I'm going to dwell on this one point. I'll have to quit. Well, I don't have to, but they're going to dismiss, and I'll stay here and preach all night, I reckon, and probably need it. The true heart pledges allegiance. That's one word that I was studying on about true. The true heart pledges allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a true heart. A true heart stands at attention.
Amen.
A true heart listens to the command of the commander in chief. Oh, when we talk about these brethren and ladies who served in the armed forces and so forth. Beloved, they were true to God as far as serving the country was concerned. And they took orders. Now, I'm not saying all the orders were right or correct, but they were called on to listen to the commander. And when the commander gave a commandment, they saluted the commander and took off to do what the commander said. Beloved, I want as Christians to have a true heart, allegiance to God.
Amen.
We need to understand our allegiance and our responsibilities, the home and the country and so forth. So today in Romans 12:1, which you know, a true heart presents itself as a living sacrifice. A true heart yields to God all of the instruments. That's the other point I've got to bring in before I close. The total man is involved in sin. Please understand that. Eyes, ears, hands, feet, mind. All are engaged in sin. And when a person is saved, the whole man has a desire to use everything he's got for it. Brother Hobbs brought out, and boy, put everything you got into it.
Amen.
Now sometimes, I'm shaking hands with people. I get tired even shaking hands anymore. But I put everything I got into it. Beloved, be true to God.
Amen.
Be true as a husband or wife or whatever. Be true, preacher brethren. Best thing we can do is just be true.
Amen.
Just stand up and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." What saith my Lord unto his servant? What wouldest thou have me to do, Lord? So today I'm thankful. Paul says, I think I got a minute. No comments, all right.
You done passed that minute.
I'm through. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, you know, "But none of these things move me." I thought about your sermon, brother. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Brethren, God help us to be faithful, and let's keep praying for lost people that God will give them a new heart. And next year, maybe there'll be some here that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because God allowed you to have this conference.
Amen.